I'm going to switch a little bit this morning and lay off the deacons for a little while, for a day anyway. I hope I haven't been too hard on them, and certainly I do want to indicate to the church, or to all of you, the church, who were at the meeting Wednesday night, know this, that the church did take an action to ordain Brother Dennis as a deacon here in the church. We have not set a date for that yet. We will be doing that probably sometime after the first of the year. But we have started that process now, and I'll be talking more about that as we get a little further along. Sometimes I think it's important that each of us stop and do a little self-evaluation. And one of the things that I think that is important in doing that, and especially those of us who are God's children, is to just say, why am I doing what I do? Why am I doing this? I'm afraid that if we're honest with ourselves, that too many times, if we give an honest answer, we might be surprised as to why we do a lot of the things we do. There is absolutely no question that each of us, as a child of God, are permitted to have the leadership of the Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. And we definitely need that leadership, and we need to listen as the Lord speaks to us. And it probably would be helpful if we were to be a lot more attentive to what the Lord is saying to us than to what everyone else is saying. Too much of our time and too many of our efforts are spent in doing what we think other people expect of us. And we may be correct, that we may be meeting their expectations. We may not be. But I fear that many times that we're more concerned about whether or not we are pleasing someone else than whether we are pleasing the Lord. And so I think that whatever it is that we're doing, that we need to sometimes just back off a little bit and say, why am I doing this? Am I doing it for the right reason, for the right purpose? Or am I doing it for reasons other than what maybe the Lord teaches me in His Word? Now, the other thing that I think is important that we understand is that when we do things, we need to do them because we like to do them. We enjoy doing them. And that we do them because we know they are the right thing to do. Sometimes you don't have to have a lot of sense, because if you had to have a lot, I probably would be excluded from that group. But a lot of times we just need to use some common sense. And the important thing is that we do things out of love. Love. When the Lord saves the individual, the first thing that happens is that He places peace in the individual's heart. That's the purest definition of salvation that I know, is peace in your heart with God. Then He adds to that peace other blessings, and one of the things that He places in our heart is love. Now, as to how much we exercise that love and how much we demonstrate that love is going to vary from individual to individual. I recognize that. But I want you to understand that as we work in the work of the Lord, it needs to be because we love the Lord and we love to do His will and we love to do His work. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians, starting with the first verse. And you can take the word charity as he uses it throughout this chapter and use the word love. The apostle was a well-educated man. He was an individual who had very formal training. He was not only an educated man, he was a very religious man. And he was a man who was given the gift from God to be able to stand and to speak to every class of people there is upon the face of the earth. And he could relate to them. He could speak to the very lowest, but he also was very comfortable speaking before the very highest in the land. But he said this, he said, though I am able to speak with the tongues of angels and of men, though I have those abilities, if I do not speak with love in my heart, and I do not do so with love, then I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I often think of the person who plays the cymbals in a band or an orchestra, usually in a band. I guess probably orchestras still have them, I'm not sure. Usually in a band. But I think of my good friend Big Red, who he's quite a cymbal player. And he, by the way, I'll put in a little plug, Tracy, for the Christmas program. Red's going to be coming back this year. And I don't know whether he's going to play cymbals yet or not, but he's like most cymbal players. They've got one note. It doesn't very much. It can be loud or it can be soft, I guess, but the note's still the same. Sometimes we get in the rut of where that we're doing everything just the same way, over and over and over. And we get to the point to where it is so routine that we don't even have to think about it. And we get to the point to where that's the way we've always done it, and so we've got to continue doing it that way, and I will guarantee you, Red, it'll be different this year. So some of you who are uncomfortable not seeing the nativity scene out of Red, why, you better stay at home. Because he probably won't have it. Now, I'm assuming some of the rest of the program will have that. You know, that again is one of the things that I've learned over the years, is that I don't have to confirm and conform to everything. And consequently, once in a while, it's good if we can just kind of step out of that rut. I used to have a deacon in the church. I'd call on him to pray, and I could recite his prayer word by word as he prayed it, because he prayed the same prayer every single time. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Memorizing a prayer may be all right. My kids learn, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I prayed that, and then surely I always had another little part on the end of it. I never did get it. But, you know, and I think it's well that we teach our children to pray. God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. You know, they learn to say these things. But we as God's children need to be able to do more than that which is just wrote. We need to be able to say, Lord, I'm here, I'm your vessel. You have chosen me to be one of your children. You've given me a talent. You've blessed my life. And you have placed love in my heart. And I need to be able to share that. and I need not be ashamed. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, first to the Jew and also unto the Greek. But we need to be able to do these things with love in our heart. Not because we have been trying, not because that's what the expectation is, but what we know is genuine from our heart. And we'll not all do it the same way. It will not all be identical, because God made every one of us unique. And He wants you to be yourself. Paul said, when I originally came to you, I came not. I was determined that I was not going to come to you with fancy words and fancy speeches, because I know that's what you people thrive on and you enjoy that. In the Corinthian church, they put a great amount of emphasis upon knowledge and upon on all of the different philosophies that these people had. And Paul said, when I came to you, and even though I was capable and qualified to speak concerning these things, I came to you determined that I was not going to know anything among you saving Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what I wanted you to be able to understand. I came to you in fear and in trembling. I came to you in weakness, he said. And yet this man was able to stand before the highest governmental body in the land at that time and speak before those men with great authority and with great power when he stood on Mars Hill and addressed that great group. When he stood before King Agrippa and was permitted to speak concerning the charges which had been brought against him, he said, I thank myself happy, O King Agrippa, that I shall speak for myself this day concerning those things whereof I am charged. For I know that thou art a man who are acquainted with the customs of our people, and I'm glad that I'm going to be able to speak before you today. So it wasn't intimidating for him to speak before many people. I find more often than not that most of our people say, oh, I couldn't get up there and do that. Well, I want to tell you something. Neither can I. It takes more than what any man can do. It takes the power and the Spirit of the Lord. But it takes a person who is willing to do what the Lord lays upon their heart. And that's no different in every single one of you as a child of God. It has to come because you're willing to do it, and because you love the Lord and you want to share that love with someone else. And your message can be just as powerful as any message that I've ever preached. When you allow the Spirit of the Lord to guide you and direct you. And when you do that, you won't have to be eloquent of a speech. You won't have to be as confident as you might like to be. But if you will be dependent upon Him, He will certainly provide what you need. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Why do we do the things we do? Why are you here this morning? Are you here because that you were expected to be here? I don't have many children, so I usually say to people when I had children in church, I know some of you are here because mom and daddy made you come. But you know what? None of us were made to come here this morning. So did you come just because you wanted to, or because you were, you thought everybody would expect you to be here? Or did you come because you wanted to see the numbers go up and the pews be filled, and you wanted to hear the music and you wanted to hear the preaching? You know, we need to sometimes ask ourselves, why? Why do I do some of the things I do? You've heard me get up and say, you know, I love to preach. And there, you don't hear preachers say that very often, but I'm one that does. I like to see it because I love to preach, because I feel the power and the presence of the Lord as He deals with me. And I hope that then is conveyed as it goes out in the message. The Bible says that it will. He says His word, when it goes forth, accompanied by the Spirit of God, will accomplish that whereunto it pleases Him to send it, not me. I've had people tell me sometimes, you know, you picked me out. You preached to me this morning. And I kind of laugh about that because I don't have a clue of that happening. In all my years of preaching, I have never, ever purposely picked out an individual and preached to them. There have been a few times I'd like to. And I'll guarantee you there wouldn't have been much of the Spirit of the Lord in it. And probably not much love, Ronnie. I probably couldn't have said, well, I'm preaching to you because I love you. I'd have been preaching to them to skin them. But the Lord has been gracious to me in that sense that I've never, never, ever done that. And so sometimes when people say that to me, I just think, Lord, thank you that you did just exactly what you said. When His word goes forth accompanied by the Spirit, it will accomplish that whereunto it pleaseth Him to send it, and will not return unto Him void. So see, He gets the job done. It's not my job to get the results. My job is merely to preach the word. And Paul said, though I have the gift of prophecy, though I could do all of these things, and I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I use this quite often in the wedding ceremony, this next part, because I think it is important that people who are getting married understand that love in a marriage is important. You know, I tell people all the time, one of the things that we need to say to each other more than we do is, I love you. I love you. We need to say that. We need to hear that sometimes. The other things I usually say are that we need to say thank you. And we need to say I'm sorry. Those are things we need to say, but we need to say I love you. And there's nothing wrong with saying that when we truly mean it. Now don't just start running around and say, well, the preacher said I need to say I love you. Just keep quiet about it if that's the only reason you're going to say it. But now listen, this is what the Apostle Paul said about love or charity. He said, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I tell that every so often. We as God's children, we get a little miffed. I didn't say people who are lost, I said God's children. Now some of you exclude yourself from this, and so that's all right. I wonder about your mentality. If you can just always be one of those people who never experienced any things that most of us commoners experience. I wonder whether you're not smart enough to know what's going on, or whether that you're so good that the rest of us just can't even begin to comprehend what that would be like. So if you've never been somebody who's ever got a little miffed or a little puffed up, or you've never been a little upset with somebody, you are a miracle walking right here up on God's green earth. But most of us have had some of these times. Now, when that happens, as I said earlier, you know, if I would, one time or two, I'd like to preach to those people or that person. It wasn't out of love. He said, charity is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly. Every one of us is a child of God who loved the Lord. And we love him because he loved us first. We didn't, you know what? You people who've got this idea, you can just do whatever the Lord wants and you can come to the Lord whenever you want to and the Lord this and the Lord that. Let me tell you something. You didn't have any say in it. You didn't have one diddly squat say in it. The Lord chose you. You didn't choose him. You may have thought you did, but as I understand the word of the Lord, you did not. He chose you. And you are a chosen individual as one of his children. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be disrespectful of those that he didn't choose. There are many he has not chosen. Not just as clear as the word of the Lord. From the very beginning it's been that way. We're trying to modify that today. We're so scared to death that we aren't going to be politically correct and we're going to upset somebody and that we're going to have all of these other churches that we're going to be upsetting. Well, I'm not really too excited about it as long as we are constantly looking to see what the word of the Lord says and stay with it. You didn't choose the Lord. He chose you. You didn't get saved by your works. You got saved because God in his mercy and his goodness and his grace saved your soul. And you can't work to save or keep yourself saved. You couldn't last 15 minutes if you had to do it on works. Somebody said, well, I'd last a little longer than that. You wouldn't make it through the day. I'd already lost it in 5 minutes. Well, honey, I didn't make 15. But let me tell you something. We need to know how to behave ourselves. Paul writing, and this will come into play whenever I talk again about the qualifications of the deacon. When Paul wrote the qualifications of a pastor or of a bishop and the qualifications of a deacon, he wrote, and his last words in that chapter to the young preacher Timothy was, he said, I write these things to you and tell you these things that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. So he was writing to Timothy to tell him what the qualifications were for these men so that in the church they might know then how they were to behave themselves. I see many times professing Christians who their behavior bespeaks who they really are. Paul said, it seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Now let me ask you something. Just be honest about it. Which would you rather hear this morning about another person? Something that's good about them? Or would you like to hear something a little juicy about them? Yeah, I'll guarantee you what most of you. Now there again, I've always got a few who they just don't march to the same drummer as I do. And so they'd much rather hear the truth or there's something good than they had something. They listen an awful lot, maybe to that which is not the best. They probably can come near repeating that than they could the good. Charity never. Oh, wait a minute, I skipped one. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now that's a whole nother sermon right there. And I've already used up all my time this morning, so I won't get it. When I was a child, I'm going to use this in closing, I spake as a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Love. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I here? Why am I going to spend the rest of my life doing what I'll be doing? Is it because what I truly love doing and I enjoy doing? Is it because I think it's what everybody else expects me to do? I hope each one of us will look in our own hearts and will say, Lord, you just help me to understand what my role is and help me to quit worrying so much about what everybody else thinks. That's my message this morning.